भगवान भीष्म का सुता
भगवान भीष्म का सुता
Rajavacha,
the king,
Parikshit Maharaj, said,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Lord,
Bhishmakasutam,
the daughter of Bhishmaka,
Rukminim,
Srimati Rukmini Devi,
Ruchira,
charming.
Ananam,
whose face,
Rakshasena,
called Rakshasa,
Vidanena,
by the method,
namely by
kidnapping,
Upayeme,
he married,
Iti,
thus,
Sutam,
heard.
Translation:
King Parikshit said,
the Supreme Lord
married Rukmini,
the beautiful-faced
daughter of Bhishmaka,
in the
Rakshasa style,
or so
I have heard.
Purport:
Srila
Swami quotes
the following Smriti
statement,
Rakshaso
Yura
Haranat.
A
Rakshasa marriage
takes place when the
bride is
stolen from one's
rival's suitors
by force.
Similarly,
Sukadeva Goswami
himself has already
said,
Ragya
Pramatya,
Krishna had
to beat down
opposing kings
to take
Rukmini.
Translation,
please repeat.
King Parikshit
said,
the
Supreme Lord
married Rukmini,
the
beautiful faced
daughter of Bhishmaka,
in the Rakshasa style.
Well,
so I have heard.
So
yesterday we were
speaking on
how Krishna
came
to kidnap
Princess
Rukmini.
She had written
a letter
already.
Now, as mentioned,
that
King
Bhishmaka, her
father,
was inclined
to
have his
daughter
marry Krishna.
He was
very advanced
spiritually,
and Prabhupada
mentions that
it must have been
that
in his court,
many saintly persons
would come,
and
saintly persons
would speak about
many things. They
must have spoken about
Krishna
in Dwarka,
and
his qualities, his
activities,
and so on.
So
King Bhishmaka and
his wife already
were very favorably
inclined
to Krishna.
And when
Princess Rukmini
had
said to them that
she
wanted to
marry
Krishna,
then they
were very willing
to accept that.
Now, when
Rukmi heard about
that,
he was incensed.
He didn't like it at all.
He was already
against Krishna.
His friend was
Shishupal.
And
actually,
he was the
elder brother. It
is mentioned in the
next verses that
King
Bhishmaka and
his wife had
five
sons and
one
daughter.
The
five sons, the
eldest,
was
Rukmi,
the firstborn
son. So he
was the elder brother
and the crown
prince,
a very powerful
position. But
he abused
his position.
He was very
dominant
and domineering
and very
powerful also.
So
even though
his father, who
the king,
and
the mother
and his
sister
were all inclined
to marry Krishna,
no,
he
refused to
allow it
to
be
organized.
And he said,
no, she must marry
Shishupal.
So
yesterday
I was speaking about
how,
after
reading the letter
that
was sent by
Princess
Rukmini
via
Brahmana
messenger
to Dwarka to
Krishna,
Krishna
decided
that yes, I want to marry Rukmini. Of course, we heard that Rukmini and Krishna are eternally related, and they're always meant to be together. No one else but Krishna can marry Rukmini, and no one else but Rukmini can marry Krishna. Their relationship is eternal. We mentioned about just like Sita, no one could even really touch Sita. Ravana took away the false Sita, the Maya Sita. He didn't actually take away Sita, the eternal consort of Lord Ram. So now here is mentioned also the meaning of lovely countenance. She was so beautiful. There's a description that when she was coming out of the temple of Durga Devi on the chariot, so many princes were there, kings even, who had come for the marriage of Rukmini to Shishupal. When they saw her, some had never seen her before, or many hadn't seen her before, but they were just struck by her beauty. They were mesmerized. Their gaze was just stuck on her. Some became unconscious, fell off their horses. So such was the beauty of Rukmini. But when Krishna, he knew, of course, that Rukmini possessed unsurpassed intelligence, mentioned in the verses to come. Beauty, good culture, a very cultured behavior, auspicious bodily markings. And yesterday I was saying that there has to be that compatibility between the man and the woman in intelligence, in education, in family, in physical attraction, in emotional compatibility, so many things, proper behavior. I mean, someone can have some of these qualities, but if their behavior is not very good, then that may be a problem. So many things have to be considered before one goes into the marriage. All other good qualities. So Krishna decided, of course he was playing the part of an ordinary human being, and upon hearing this letter from the Brahman, he decided, yes, Rukmini, she is very possessive of all wonderful qualities. She would be an ideal wife. And of course, Rukmini already decided Krishna would be an ideal husband. So Prabhupada mentions in other places that when a young unmarried girl, a virgin girl, gives her heart to a man for the first time, it's very difficult for her to take it back. Very difficult. And so Rukmini, now she was being forced to marry Shishupal, but her heart was already given to Krishna, and she could not take it back. So Krishna, knowing everything, came there with his chariot, and very quickly came, when she was coming out of the temple, he came very quickly with his chariot and just snatched her from her chariot and placed her on his chariot, and then casually proceeded to leave the area. And as if challenging, I have come here, I have snatched her right in front of all your eyes. And now if anyone wants to do anything, please come. So as I described yesterday, the kings and princes, they come from many different places. They were very shocked and angry. Who is this Krishna? She's being married to Shishupal. He's come right in, and he has dared to come in front of us even. Warriors. You know, in front of us he has done this. If he had it done sneakingly, maybe, you know. But right in front of our faces he has done it. That we cannot stand here and allow it. So they all took their weapons, but Balaram, he came and fought with them and defeated them all. Only Rukmi followed Krishna, and Krishna took his arrows and broke all his weapons, broke his chariot. He was left with nothing also. Just about to kill him, but Rukmini said, "No, here's my brother, don't kill him." Krishna disfigured him a little bit. And so he was stayed there, rooted to the spot. Rukmi, I said yesterday that he took the vow and he was so humiliated. I will not go back to the kingdom. I've been humiliated in this way. I will not go back until I have killed that Krishna. So he made a city right there in that spot. So we were discussing all these things yesterday. So today we're reading about we're reading about this Rakshasa style. Now, there are different styles of marriage in the Vedic times. I've read that there are like 8 different types of marriage: Gandhava style, Rakshasa style. I think the Gandhava, where you choose your partner, is more the Gandhava style. So many different types of marriage. This is the Rakshasa style. And you come in and kidnap your wife, kidnap your bride, take her away, steal her away. But this is a Rakshasa style. A Rakshasa marriage takes place when the bride is stolen from one's rival suitors by force. So, you know, the one's rival, you come and kidnap. So this is Rakshasa. Now, Krishna had to beat down the opposing kings to take Rukmini. Now Parikit Maharaj is asking, I want to hear about all this, the immeasurably powerful Lord Krishna, how he took away his bride, meaning defeating all these kings. I want to hear. And it's mentioned, Brahman Krishna Kata Punya Madviloka Malapaha Konu Tripyate Sinvana Sutta Go Nitya Nutana. Now, here, Parikit Maharaj says that anyone who is accustomed to hearing about Krishna and his transcendental pastimes is never satiated. The more one hears, the more one wants to hear. There's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna says the same thing. Please tell me of all your opulences and glories, for I never tire of hearing your ambrosial words, amrita, nukta, asmuti. And they're like nectar. I never tire. So the devotees drink more and more the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Just like we're reading Bhagavatam, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're more eager. We don't tire. That's like in the kirtan. I finished the kirtan and everyone wanted more. Not enough. This morning, those who weren't here, we finished the kirtan and hurry, oh, we want more, we want more. Everyone very enthusiastic, dancing. Prabhupada commented when he said, a few times I heard him say that when I come to a place and the devotees are all enthusiastically chanting and dancing, I know that the Krishna consciousness is going on very nicely here. But if Prabhupada comes and someone is trying to do kirtan, all devotees like this. Come on, Prabhu, let's dance. So Krishna consciousness is not going on so nicely. But when there's enthusiasm, tusanti charamati charam, always relishing. When there's enthusiasm for chanting and dancing, and we know that we're going nicely on the path of Krishna consciousness. We don't want to chant, we don't want to associate with devotees, don't want to hear Bhagavad Gita, we don't want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we know that we are not performing our devotional practices very nicely. This is the symptom. Prabhupada would say like that. This is the symptom. The symptom is that you're more eager to engage in Krishna's service, in Krishna consciousness, chanting, dancing, and you're not very enthusiastic to engage in the material activities. This is the symptom of advancement. Your attraction for materialistic activity decreases, and your attraction for the spiritual activity increases. This is how we know we're advancing. How do I know I'm advancing? Well, I've got more and more enthusiasm for the spiritual activities. How do I know I'm not advancing very well? I've got a lot more of attachment for the material activity, and it's coming more. So generally when someone is like that, then to engage in Krishna consciousness is an interruption for his material activities. He has his plans, he has organized himself very, very nicely to do the materialistic activities. So therefore, when he's invited to come to the kirtan, oh no, I cannot come there. Just in case if I come there, I'll become enthusiastic. then my plans for the material activities will be spoiled. So let me not come to the temple to then do the kirtan. Let me not hear the Bhagavatam class. Let me just say, because I know I've done before, and every time I do that I become enthusiastic, and then my plans are spoiled. There's one verse by Rupa Goswami: if you want to indulge in the materialistic activities, don't look upon the form of Krishna. When you look on the form of Krishna, then all your material plans are finished. Don't look. He said, don't look. If you are interested in the material, don't look at Krishna. Because when you look, oh, then that's the matter of time, they're all finished. So this is the test. These are the symptoms. So Parikit Maharaj is very eager to hear more. More and more. But on the other hand, those who are material, they don't want to hear. There's that many verses. One verse in the Bhagavatam said, they have got the tongues like the frogs, and the ear holes like the snakes. The snake has the ear hole, but what does the snake hear through his ear?
Frogs.
Nothing. There's just something there. He doesn't actually hear through the ear, doesn't he? He knows the sound vibration. How?
Tongue.
Puts his tongue. That's why the snake always put in their tongue. They get the vibration. Not only the vibration of the sound, but they get all sorts of sense and all sorts of things. And they see, of course. And they, you know, but the ear, I don't know what the, that is non-functioning. The hole is there, but it's non-functioning whole. Someone who has got the ears, but doesn't use the ears to hear about Krishna, then his ears are like the ears of the snake. Useless. Your ears, they are useless. Of course, the snake doesn't hear anything. And I mean, someone may hear the materialistic things, but it's like hearing nothing. Because it's all just temporary. It's all just temporary. You hear it, you feel some temporary pleasure, but then it's gone. So it's like hearing nothing. So it's like the ears of the snake. And then the tongue of the frog. So if your tongue is always vibrating the materialistic things, it's like the tongue of that. So the frog uses his tongue, uses his voice. Right? Very loudly. I don't know if you hear so many frogs around Melbourne. A new Govardhan, you hear a lot. Especially after the rain, right? Loud. I remember that at the White House. Years ago, when the temple was at the White House in the bottom, we used to live underneath. And and after the rain, there was this one frog, really loud, and he somehow or other got himself in the drain pipe. He was in ecstasy because he was like, his voice was his voice was amplified. It was really loud, and we were trying to find that frog for days. No one could sleep at night. Practically, a loud halo was there. We were trying to find him. We figured out he was in the drain pipe, but how you could get him, he was in deep in the drain pipe somewhere. But after a few days, we didn't hear him anymore because we had also there. There was one snake who we nicknamed Herbie, big python, and we noticed that we saw the snake curled up with a little lump in his belly. And we concluded that we didn't hear the frog. We saw the snake with a lump in it. That was that frog in there. So the thing is, the frogs, they croak. And that vibration, of course, attracts the snakes. And they're thinking, oh, I'm singing very wonderfully. They're trying to track perhaps the opposite sex or something like that. I don't know, I'm not a frog psychologist. maybe it's like that. They're attracting the opposite sex. And they're thinking, they're singing very nicely. Rub it. I'm singing so wonderfully. Like the ass also brays. And it's, the Prabhupada says, comments that he, the ass brays and he thinks he's singing very sweetly. But to anyone listening, of course, it is a very horrible sound. But he's trying to attract the opposite sex, just like we today. We have the, you know, and then so many songs are sung, and the boy sings, I love you. Everyone likes to listen, and the girl likes to listen to that. Or the girl sings, I love you, and the boy likes to listen. So they're like the frogs or the asses or something like that. And what's the use? You're just attracting the snake of time. Time will act upon you. It is acting already. The snake, Prabhupada says, the snake of time. In due course of time, the snake of death. Death will come and you'll be finished. You've been talking about so many things in your life. Singing, doing so many activities. Your tongue is vibrating non-stop. Practically. Non-stop vibration. That's like we say that one godbrother of mine, someone was saying, oh, how is he? I said, he's very well known to always be talking, but his health hasn't been good lately. And he said, how is he going? I said, you know, his health, his body is not so good, but his mouth is still working good. Non-stop talking. Luckily, he's a devotee, so he talks about Krishna. So we have to use our tongues, our voice, for Krishna consciousness. No more this prajalpa. What is that verse by Rupa Goswami? Mm-hmm. What is this? How's it? Atyahara prayasa, prajalpaniya mangala, jnana sangashana, sadbhi bhakti vinasa. One of these six things to be avoided is the prajalpa. And what is the prajalpa? That's mundane talking all day long. And then mundane talking, gossip talking. That's gossip talking. And then Prabhupada used to call that fish. Fish, it's like gossip talking. Fish, talking in the ear. Gossip talking. And the whole world is more gossip talking, business talking. And this talking goes on in all species of life. Not only the humans. Every morning you wake up, already the birds are talking, isn't it? They start early in the morning. What are they doing? Talking. They have their language. I don't know what they're saying. Here is the food over here. Where is the little one? Come and get your food. Well, who knows? Of course, Krishna, he can talk all the languages. I don't know. But all the species of life, they're talking. But they're just talking the material things. But who is talking about Krishna? They're talking the material things. What is the result? They will again come into material. But one who talks about Krishna, one who hears about Krishna, that person, that he... at the end, goes back to God. The saintly persons, they are not interested in the talks of it. There's one, Tadvaya Samushant. What is that verse? Nayad vachaschita param mahareyaso jagat pavitam paginita kayachit tadvaya samushanti masa nayatta hamshinanaman yashikshaya. The saintly persons, they are not interested in the talks of the ordinary mundane activity. It's like they consider it is like the place of pilgrimage for the crows. The crows, they assemble, they like to assemble with many together. And where do they like to assemble mainly?
In the garbage.
Crows like to go in the garbage area, or the dirty places. And they all assemble together as like a great gathering. In India you have so many, isn't it? Whole country is full of the crow. Here in Australia also, so many crows. or Apcrow? I think they call them Raven. Actually, Apcrow. In Brisbane, they. Brisbane Temple. Famous. So no one likes to hear the crow. What type of voice is that? Right? And they're talking with each other. And in the garbage pit. Prabhupada once said that. He said, in Calcutta, the crow is like this. I stand on the balcony, I spit, and practically before it hits the ground, the crow comes and eats it. This is the crow. But the swan, Hamsa, he is a different bird. So we don't, Vayasham, we don't want to be like the crow. We don't want to be like the crow. Like the fly. Where does the fly go? All the flies are going to all the dirty places. Immediately, you know, what does everyone do with the fly? You want to get him away. Even the crow. What do you want to do? Get him away from me. He's causing disturbance. So this is like that. The fly is disturbing, disease, isn't it? Crow creating disturbance. Everyone wants to get him away. No one likes to hear crow. No one likes to go to the places where the crow goes. But the swan, when you go in the park, in the lake, sometimes we would go with Prabhupada in the botanical gardens here, also Sydney. Many lakes are there, many beautiful swan, white swan, black swan. The swan likes to go in the beautiful places. And he is always seen in the company of other swans in the beautiful places. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells one story of the heron, actually. The heron, he comes, and by some chance he came to the beautiful lake and he sees one beautiful swan. And he's never seen the swan before. He said, "Who are you? What type of bird?" Actually, he didn't go to the lake. He was just met the swan going from one place to the other place. "So who are you?" "I am a swan." "Where do you live?" "I live in a beautiful place. Nice lake, nice trees, flowers, crystal water." And the heron said, "But is there any snails there?" The swan said, "Oh, no snails there." "Then it must be a horrible place." Who wants to live in a place no snails? So the people are like that. The devotees that are talking about the Krishna conscious Leela and chanting Hare Krishna, and you tell the others, "Oh yes, it's very nice. Ah, but can you do you have this gratification there? Do you have that? Come to our temple. Have something to eat. Do you have any burgers there? Do you have any beer there?" For the crow-like men, if we advertised free beer at the Hare Krishna temple, they would come like mad. But if we just say, "Come, take prasadam," "Oh, I don't want to come." "Nice. Have some sabji, have cauliflower." No, we don't like it. "We like Kentucky Fried Chicken, we like other things. Have some nice apple juice." No, we like the beer. Now they're like the crows. We like to talk and chant Hare Krishna, we are dancing, and they like to hear. That's like this morning, I was on a japa walk, and a couple of the drunks are walking in the street here. What's that road there? The tram line over there? What? Victoria? I'm walking down Victoria Street, and a couple are going over there. They were singing. One fell down, the other one picked him up. They saw me walking. "Hurry, hurry, 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 hurry." "Come and give us a song." So if you give a song and you say, "Hare Krishna." "No, not that song, other song." This is the mentality of the Catholics. They want to hear all the mundane song, all the mundane talk, mundane activities. That is their nectar. For them it is nectar. They relish these things. But for the devotee, he doesn't like it. Just like I remember one time many years before we went to chant in the suburb of Coburg. Yeah, it's just one Saturday morning we were chanting. And there is this one meat market inside there. There's a market there, and inside there's the meat market. We decided to go through the market, and then there's meat. All the sausages hanging there, all the dead chicken and all the duck, everything hanging there. Right? So the devotee, and very quickly we went past. But we saw many people smelling, very nice. Checking the salami, checking the dead duck. They're very fond of eating the dead bird. Dead meat. So people, that's their nectar. Their nectar is that. They like to drink the wine. We like our juice fresh. We don't like fermented juice. We like fresh juice. But you see, birds of a different feather. Right? What is it? Flock together? Birds of a feather flock together. Right? The crow flocks. You don't see the crows hanging out with the swans. You don't see the swans hanging out with the crows. They're different birds. Different mentalities. So someone could say, well, each to his own. Yes, each to his own. But what is the result? Very good result. Just like last night I said that. So of course someone will say, well, our result is very good. That depending. Just like last night I was saying in the lecture. I was saying that just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tells the story of the drunk, always in front of the temple drunk every day. The brahmana became very angry with him. Why every day drunk here in front of the temple? You'll go to hell. And he said, I got another friend, he's also drunk every day. He'll also go to hell. My girlfriend, she's also drunk every day. She'll also go to hell. Then he said, I think hell will be very nice because my girlfriend will be there. My friend will be there. So the Prabhupada tells the story of the miners, the priest, the Christian priest, went deep into the mine to preach the Christianity to the miners. So they were sitting there reading the newspaper. And he was preaching about Jesus Christ and the Christianity. And if you don't take, to Christianity, you will go to the hell. So no one was listening. They were just kept reading. And then he said, well, in hell, there is no newspapers. So everyone, we don't want to go to hell. They started listening to the sermon. They were so attached to reading the newspaper. In hell, there's no newspapers. So everyone is conditioned to liking a thing. This is all modes of material nature. A mode of ignorance, you're conditioned to like this, and the other thing. Mode of passion, you'll be conditioned to like different things. We were speaking a little bit last night. A mode of goodness, you like other things. So each one has likes, dislikes according to the conditioning, the body and the conditioning of the body. But the result of all this conditioning, another birth, another death in the world, who knows what the next life will be. But the devotee, we are following the Krishna consciousness, we are very eager to hear more and more about Krishna. It's like nectar, it's like drinking nectar through the ears. We like to talk with the devotees, get all the nectar from the devotees. Squeeze the juice. We used to say in the Sankirtan days that the devotee, we used to compare him to the gulab jamun. You have to squeeze a little bit, get the juice. When you see the devotee, you're like, oh, how is the Sankirtan? How is the this? How is it? And you get the juice, the nectar. We like to hear. So Parikit Maharaj, he wanted to hear more and more. He was always accustomed to hearing these things. And the result is mentioned by him here, that when we hear about the charming and ever fresh topics of Krishna, all these things cleanse away the world's contamination. tad bhag vishaga janathapa viplavon jashmin marishokam edapatyapi naman yananta sinvanti gayanti gananti sarva. This hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam says, creates a revolution in the lives of the impious population of the world. Creates a revolution, changes the life so much. When you just hear these things, it's like a revolution in the individual by hearing these things. So this is the effect of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tad bhag vishaka janata viplava jashmin parishloka. By hearing all the different shlokas of the Bhagavatam, we are making a revolution in our own lives. Our revolution is not with the gun or the bomb. Just like we saw a picture of one cleric in Indonesia. He had the Quran in one hand, machine gun in the other hand. Read this or you'll get this. This is the message. Read Quran, machine gun. This is the revolution. They changed the world. Must follow. We are not like that. That is not our revolution. Our revolution, chanting, dancing, as by Lord Chaitanya. We are throwing the bomb of the holy name. Just throw the bomb there. The holy name bomb. Throw the Bhagavad Gita bomb, the Bhagavatam bomb. Prabhupada did actually refer to them. The Bhagavatam is you have to drop them like the bombs in the laps of the people. Like the bombs, he said. Just like in the Second World War, they were dropping the bombs. So we have to drop the Bhagavatams like that in everyone's lap when you get the Bhagavatam. So that is our revolution for ourselves and for everyone. A holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. When people begin to hear, then they will get attraction, revive the natural attraction within, and they will like more and more. So the effect individually and the whole world, the contamination is destroyed. Cleanse away the world's contamination just simply by hearing about these pastimes of Krishna, this pastime particularly, how he stole away Rukmini, took her to Dwarka. They are eternally related, husband, wife, eternal consort, Krishna and Rukmini. Alright, I'll read this verse again. Sri Raja Vacha Bhagavan Bhishmaka Sutam Rukminim Ruchirananam Rakshasena Vidanina Upayema Iti Sutam. King Parikit said the Supreme Lord married Rukmini, the beautiful faced daughter of Bhishmaka in the Rakshasa style, or so I have heard. Any question or comment? Yes.
I have heard one time in Mark. A couple of months back, I was in Vrindavan and I met a 7-year-old boy, and he chanted the whole chapter, Rukmini's message to Lord Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
Whole thing in Sanskrit, very excellent pronunciation. So we can see by Krishna's grace. You can really talk so nicely and not talking about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like frogs.
Instead of talking about other things, we just talk these things. So this boy, what, 7 years old? Brahmin boy, right?
Brahmin boy, yeah. Excellent.
In the Gurukula, near the temple there. They have one Gurukula. There, you saw it? That's right. We have our Gurukula, but they also, there's another one around the corner. And every day I see the Brahmin boys, they go there. This is very good, Brahmin boys. Cultured, and they learn all these things. Sanskrit, this is education, the real education. And Prabhupada said, just do these things your whole life, and you go back home, back to God. Any other question? Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned earlier that Sita belongs to Lord Ram, they're always together, and Rukmini is always with Lord Krishna. I was wondering if you go over the hierarchy of Srimati Radharani's because the Lord is the origin of everything, so could you just go
over that? We mentioned the other morning, wasn't it?
That, no, I wasn't here.
Yeah. That, just like Rukmini, all the goddesses of fortune, she's like the goddess of fortune, and all the female forms like Rukmini and the gopis are all expansions coming from Srimati Radharani. This was explained actually. purport here that I think we read. Just like Krishna expands himself to Balaram and so many others, all the different personalities, Vrindavan Dham, Mathura Dham, and Dwarka, so many expansions, so many incarnations. Similarly, Radharani expands herself in so many forms, and all are coming, all the goddesses of fortune, actually expansions from Srimati Radharani. It is not so well known, perhaps, but there are many statements in the Shastra to confirm how all the expansions are coming from Srimati Radharani. Not all the female forms are coming from Radharani, just like Krishna expanded himself as Mahini. Mahini Devi, was it Mahini? Mahini Murti, female form of Krishna. That is, Krishna expanded himself in the female. But the goddess of fortune, the Lakshmis and the Rukmini, are all coming expanded from Srimati Radharani. Any other question? Jai Ho Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.